I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
It's Saturday morning, so sit back, relax, because I'm going to give you a word today that was on my mind this morning. And that word is communications. Communications. In my opinion, communications is asymmetric. Asymmetric means that it goes both ways. I'm giving you this podcast, but I don't think this is communication. You may be hearing me, but if you don't give me some feedback that you like it, you don't like it, you heard it, then I don't know if I'm really communicating, because I think communications take two people, and it is a two-way street. Now, everything I'm going to say to you this morning, more than likely you're going to say, Bob, I already knew that. Why are you telling me things I already knew? Well, background. Probably 4 million years ago, somebody stood on a hill and saw a little stream. Maybe it was a river even. And it noticed that it was wearing away the sides of the walls of the stream very slowly. So the stream was carving a path. I doubt it, but it's possible somebody said, I think one day this will be called the Grand Canyon. Now, more than likely, no one said that because things that wear away so slowly, or things that occur to us that become ubiquitous, we don't seem to notice. And that's what I'm going to say about communications. When I was in business years ago, in my 20s, I called my secretary into my office. Yes, we called them secretaries in those days. And I said, take a memo. And I dictated a memo to her. And she took notes in her little memo pad and went out and sat down at her desk and picked up used an IBM typewriter and typed the memo and then used whiteout if there were mistakes, brought it back into me. I signed it. Then she took that memo out to the Xerox machine or the copying machine and made 10 copies, came back to her desk, put all the memos in individual brown folders. They were about 10 inches long and 5 inches wide and had string that kind of attached around them so the memos didn't fall out. And a little while later, our internal mail person came by, picked up all the memos, and in a few days, or perhaps sometimes longer, my memos would be distributed and perhaps read by the people I sent them to. And with that communication method, we successfully built a $500 million a year business. But that was the way we communicated. No question that the communication today is faster, but that's not my point. My point is that the communications, the way we communicate, the methods we use, are culture-altering things. Yes, from drawing pictures on a cave wall to the way we do it now, our culture is forever altered by the way we communicate. Oh, yes, that's obvious, Bob. I see that. Yes, but are you sitting and thinking about how it's altering you and the culture that surrounds you? How are the communication methods today altering us? Looking out 25 years, how will our culture be changed because of the communications methods that we use? Trump's campaign, according to what I understand from a documentary, spent $90 million on advertising via Facebook that was micro-targeted to Facebook users. In other words, I'm a Republican and write things on Facebook that clearly are of a Republican or conservative nature, and I would receive ads targeted to me that reflected my culture. My neighbor, who might be a Democrat or even a bleeding heart liberal, would receive targeted ads to him or her, tailored to his or her beliefs. Now, I have done a lot of expert witness work, including representing Facebook, and micro-targeting of ads is not new. There are many patents on it, in fact. But what is new is that last presidential election, the Republicans spent $90 million on Facebook ads, and the Democrats spent none, or virtually none, is my understanding. Facebook reached out to them to say we could be a good method for sending ads to targeted individuals, and they declined. Was Trump elected because of the $90 million he spent on Facebook? I don't know. But did it have an impact? Of course it did. Only the ignorant say that advertising has no impact on what we do. So communications affect everything. They affect our culture. You can expect that in the next presidential election, you will be inundated with micro-targeting advertising. You see, the people that draft ads and send them out to people via Facebook, they'll draft 30,000 different ads, each ad being a little bit of a different color, the text explaining things a little bit differently, a different word or two here or there. In Bingo, we have an ad that's micro-targeted to your beliefs. Go over to your Facebook account now and look at all the things that are there. It won't take you too long to understand that what's there defines you, who you have connected to you on Facebook, the kinds of language that's being used on Facebook, even your picture, what you post, where you go. All those define you in the new communications world. Yes, this is Bob Sherwood at webtalkwiththebob@gmail.com, coming to you on this Saturday morning, October the 14th, and suggesting that you spend a few hours this week thinking about how communications is affecting you, how communications are affecting your culture, the environment that you live in, our politicians, the way we vote, the way we complain, the way we protest. So I'm considering writing a book, and I'm going to talk about the first chapter because I may never get the book written, so the first chapter makes a lot of sense in the area of communications. Jesus rose from the dead, or did he? Christopher Columbus sailed home to explain he discovered America, but even then, many people did not believe him. He had no smartphone. On V1 Day, May 8, 1945, Germany surrendered, but Japan did not. 2 days later, the Japanese initiated the kamikazes, a trained group of Japanese pilots that committed suicide by crashing their planes into American ships. According to Japanese historians, the kamikazes were a communication message to the USA. In other words, Japan wanted to send a message to America. And the kamikazes were sent to explain that the Japanese would rather die than surrender. But America didn't get that message. The message is not understood. because our culture was so much different. We thought the Japanese kamikazes were just plain crazy to sacrifice lives for so little military gain. In other words, Japan tried to communicate with us with something that was inherent in their culture, the honor of giving up your life. We thought it was crazy. Didn't work. Communication is a characteristic of the culture. So we have to think about how email, how electronic communication now is affecting our culture. To just cast it aside and say it's just another method of communication and it has no effect would be not only cavalier, but probably a big mistake. Communication is affecting our organizations, our companies, our charities. Everything we do in our culture is affected by communication. On June 7th, 1942, according to a documentary, a colonel of the German army was stationed on Omaha Beach. The German colonel saw thousands of Allied ships approaching the beach. He called the German high command and told them what he saw. They did not believe him and would not wake Hitler to reinforce the beaches with the deadly German panzer tank division. They didn't believe the German colonel. He had a phone, but it was not the best phone, and he certainly had no capability to send images. American historians say that if Hitler would have ordered the German panzers to reinforce the beach, the Allied invasion would have failed. If smartphones had been in existence, the colonel could have sent proof. Hitler would have been woken up. The panzer division would have reinforced the beach, and we may have lost the war. Yes, it's been said many times, a picture is a persuasive communicator. And that's what we do today. We send pictures. We send images. With good communications, the entire Jesus issue would have already been solved. But we didn't have the kind of communications at that point that we have now. So to not consider the impact of communications on your life, on our culture, on everything we do, is a huge mistake. The speed of communications has advanced from letters sent by drums, communications sent by drums, letters sent by camel, to letters sent by horses, to words sent with the speed of light or close to it, such as text or email. A family of 30 people in 30 different places can communicate virtually instantaneously. Communication power is silently exploding our emotions and exponentially expanding our species' connections. The connections we have with people. The tribe is becoming geographically independent. I believe that is a powerful notion. Tribes used to live together, hunt together, eat together, get married together, die together. That was the idea of a tribe. They were geographically dependent. But now, the tribe is becoming geographically independent. I could have tribal members in China, in Iran, in Russia, in Michigan, in California, all part of my tribe. Yes, I just talked about LinkedIn and Facebook. Facebook is a massive communication game changer. There can be no question that war, death, life, marriage, jobs, and politics have all been altered forever with the new communication tools. Facebook has yet to reach its actual preeminence as a communication tool, but users have jumped on to take the journey. Politicians, as I said before, spent $90 million using Facebook as a communication tool. We do not know yet the true impact of Facebook as a communication tool and its cultural impact on our species. In my mind, the first Facebook user fuel in the year 2020 or 2030 will be a single click resurrecting 40 years of Facebook posts for all in attendance to see, who will not likely even be at the memorial service, but participating online with comments on what a great digital life this person had. As his life is recreated at a blinding pace over 40 years of posts that are displayed to music in a few minutes, God, no doubt, has left the building. And symbols are coming back. Symbols to hand signs, to images, to letters, to words, to sentences, to books, and how we see symbols. And now we see symbols rising again in the name of emojis. A heart replaces three words, and so on. I find myself shortcutting all spelling. Instead of saying Y-O-U-S-E-E, I just say U-C or U-R. As opposed to Y-O-U-A-R-E, I just say U-R. Yes, I think it's going to affect our language. U is a word. The letter U is a word in Twitter or on Facebook. You don't have to know how to spell Y-O-U. You have to know that the letter U refers to you. And let's briefly address the question, is faster communication better? The truth is, we do not know yet. Culturally, we love the speed of the text message. Fast and furious is how the new generation rolls. I receive hundreds of messages a day. My smartphone never stops sending me messages about something. My dad received only a few messages from the single newspaper he read each day. He didn't receive any TV messages and only a few radio broadcast messages when it is on. Now you receive messages whether your smartphone device is on or not. I likely receive 100 times more messages than my dad. To say that that does not have an effect on me would be an error in judgment. My dad's messages came to him like a rifle. Bing. Bing. Mine come to me like a shotgun. Spray, spray, spray. Bank America alert. Bank of Card alert. Chase Card alert. Alert about the weather. Alert about your business. Alert about a text message. Alert about an email message. Alerts, alerts, alerts. To underestimate the impact of these different messaging systems is to underestimate the impact of messages on our culture. There are many, many books on strategy, getting your corporation strategy right, thinking through the correct strategy, using special techniques, special acronyms like SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. But I don't see any seminars on the impact of communications on corporate culture. But it is having an impact. Smart politicians like Trump have learned to use electronic communications. It is well known, according to one documentary, that Lincoln used the slow communications of the Civil War to get a bill passed in Congress. The war was over. The South had surrendered. Lincoln knew it, but other people did not. And he used that lack of communication, that slow speed in communications, to get some of his legislation passed. He was afraid if people knew the war was over, they wouldn't be interested in passing important legislation. And let's not forget, and Trump won't let us anyway, that today a single person can communicate with 25 million people in dozens of countries with a single click. I don't know about you, but this is tremendously provocative for me. The ability to communicate with 25 million people with a single click, that is just incredible. I believe that the students in North Korea, for example, will never want their Facebook access limited, presuming they have it. I don't know if they do have it, but if they have it, they won't want it limited by a nuclear exchange. So communications may go a long way to solving war issues, because we can communicate better, faster, and because there's an underlying communication foundation that's being created by things like Facebook. Communication now is not hierarchical. It isn't the top guy communicates information down to the lowest guy in the organization. Now, the lowest guy can communicate with everybody in the organization as easy as the top guy. A person in Hayes, Kansas, on the internet, sitting in their kitchen, living on Social Security, can communicate what they believe to 25 or 30 million or more people with a single click. Now, don't think for a minute that that doesn't change our culture, because it does. And it's affecting your life, and it's changing your life. And my suggestion this week, as you sit down and you think about how communications are changing your life. Do you need as much face-to-face as you used to? Can you live with binary communication methods? Don't ask me how the weather is. Don't ask me how my children are doing. Just tell me if you can make the meeting Saturday morning at 8:30. The whole idea of water cooler communications, it's gone. Don't bug me. Send me a text. If that doesn't work, send me an email. And just maybe, if you have enough time, give me a call. The impact of communications on our culture is awesome. I don't know what the total impact will be, but I believe that we're going to look back at it 10, 15, 20 years from now, and we'll say that communications, things like Facebook, email, texting, had the biggest impact on our life, and we never knew it. And remember, the next step clearly is video cameras all over the world, where we simply say, I want to watch the camps where people are living day to day with no food in Uganda or some other African country or Syria. And I'll watch that for a few minutes, and then I'll watch some other sporting event, or I'll watch body cams of people on the ground as they shoot against other people on the ground with their body cams. And I'm able to tune in and watch the body cams of our people shooting at these other people, then turn into their body cams and watch them shooting at our people. You don't think that's possible? Well, video cameras are totally cheap now, and body cams are becoming more and more prevalent. See, it's communications. I don't know. If the more we know, the better off we'll be, but be prepared, because we're going to know a lot. Maybe some things we'll know too much about and realize how unimportant and unimpactful our own life is. And actually, that's not a bad thing. I'm actually upbeat about the whole thing, about the whole communications method. It's exciting to be a part of it. It allows me to communicate with my family easily, quickly, in a number of different ways. It's all positive. So, Bob Sherwood coming to you on this Saturday morning, October the 14th, 2017, saying, think about communications. Think about how it affects you. That's all for today. Have a good day. I got some other comments, but I'll pick them up on a later podcast. I brought to you courtesy.